Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's Theology Thursday. I so apologize for the delay in getting this together, but Dr. Taylor Marshall is a pretty popular guy, so I thought my computer was going to crash for a second there, and I apologize if you hear the notifications in the background. I'm going to turn this down. So I am joining you guys live from Delray Beach, Florida. And behind me, you'll see some of my really great friends who are dedicated Trump supporters, devout Catholics here in the great state of Florida, which you guys know is very important to the president. It's now his official residence. So we are building the movement of Catholics for Trump. And I just wanted to thank each and every one of you for participating tonight. It's a real honor to have Dr. Taylor Marshall on my board. I remember speaking to him, what was it, 3 months ago?
Taylor? Yeah, we're in the midst of COVID crisis. Yep.
So one of my friends had introduced me to Taylor, and I was talking to him. I was like, "Wow, do you want to be on my board?" And he agreed. So I'm very blessed to have him here, and it's been a true honor to be with this president for the past 4 years. For those of you that haven't been on a Zoom with me before, I served in the administration at the State Department. Since day one, after the president's hand went down on the Bible, I went into the State Department to start implementing his great policies, such as the Mexico City policy, combating religious persecution all around the world, combating human trafficking. So it's been an honor of a lifetime to serve this president, and I'm so excited to be back on the campaign trail, making sure that he's going to win in November. All right, so I think I've said enough. I'm going to turn it over to the real star tonight. So thanks again, Taylor, for helping me figuring out this technological difficulty, but I'm glad we got there. All right, over to you, Taylor.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty. We had the Zoom call, and people are coming over right now. I think everyone's getting the email and getting the tweet and getting the Facebook. This was supposed to be hosted over on Zoom, but we had a lot of people and it couldn't handle all the people. So we said last minute, let's just transfer over to YouTube. That way we could have unlimited folks. So we apologize for the inconvenience and the confusion. But thanks for everybody for coming. I think it'll be a nice evening. And I guess we're just going to do some Q&A and some back and forth, some Theology Thursday, right?
All right. So do you want to start off and kind of give some opening remarks, Taylor, and then we can field some of the questions that you're getting from some of the participants?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think, Catherine, I mean, you've done a great job, and everyone who watched the Republican National Convention, you know, I'm guessing 95% of the people right now with us are Catholic. And so many, you know, our Catholic hearts were so warmed during the convention. I mean, the speech by Abby Johnson was just, I mean, it was powerful. I mean, she held nothing back. And of course, Sister Deidre, and her holding up the rosary, and this is the weapon. And she said, I'm not just life. I'm eternal. I'm pro eternal life. And then ending with the Hail Mary, the Ave Maria at the end. I don't think there's ever been a convention that's been, so what's the right word here? So forcefully Catholic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Catholic. And I just think it's amazing that we have a president in Donald Trump who listens to people like Catherine O'Neill and to the lady standing behind her and the people who are on this live stream and people on the advisory board. He really does care for us. And I think he realizes that, you know, we talk about swing states, but Catholics are a swing demographic. And he's done really well in capturing that. Chiefly because he's the most pro-life president ever since Roe v. Wade, you know, and that's something that is theological, and our president is not a Catholic, but what I call the fake Catholic candidate Joe Biden, he is opposed to our beliefs, to our morals, to our convictions, and if we don't protect the fundamental right to life, there are no other rights. you have to get out of the womb alive to experience people of other religions and whatnot. But Catholics in America have been the standard bearers. And it's great to see someone who's not a Catholic rally and join us, for example, at the March for Life. Yes. I mean, Catherine, I remember being at a March for Life in the 2000s, and there was a rumor that the vice president might call in. And we were just, oh my goodness, a vice president might call in. Here we had a president speaking.
Right. And I mean, he wanted to go. It was his idea. It wasn't some staffer or some, you know, big consultant that's like, oh, this would be good for the poll numbers. It was the president's intention and desire to go to the pro-life march or March for Life and represent, you know, our most dear value, and that's the right to life. So,
yeah. So I think, you know, and other things too, I think, you know, his visiting the John Paul II shrine, yes. I think Melania's, you know, devotion to the rosary. And I think she's been symbolically more Catholic during the 4 years of the presidency. And just seeing, you know, him reach out to voices like Archbishop Vigano, who's been so instrumental in trying to clean up what's going on in the Catholic Church in America and fostering that connection. So I'm very hopeful, and I'm just every day more and more impressed by what Donald Trump is doing for our country, and I pray for his victory. You know, Catherine, I think I maybe told you this, but we were praying the rosary as a family a couple weeks ago, and sometimes I have the children pray a decade or announce the decade, and so I asked our seven-year-old daughter, I said, all right, Elizabeth, will you announce the fourth joyful mystery? And she said, that everyone votes for Trump.
That's so great!
I said, well, no, that's it. That's not it. That's not quite it, but... Yeah, I mean, we're all praying, and I think we realize that our religious liberties as Catholics will be protected by Donald Trump, and they won't be, especially by Kamala Harris, who has explicitly stated in public that being a member of the Knights of Columbus, an all-male, for her, hate group that opposes abortion and promotes natural marriage, she thinks that disqualifies you from public office. And if that's her belief, that means all Catholics are disqualified from public office, from being a judge, from being anything. And if that vision takes hold in America, we're in big trouble.
I agree. And I think, honestly, Taylor, the most alarming thing that that Joe Biden has done has been reversing and vowing to reverse the mandate about with the Little Sisters of the Poor. So that is direct persecution on nuns that devote their lives to caring for the sick and the elderly. So he's personally attacking them for their faith. And for someone that says that, you know, nuns have inspired him to run for office and have inspired him to be the person that he is it's really hard to believe that he would go so far as to, you know, vow to reverse their victory in being able to profess their faith and not profess their faith, but practice their faith in their work. So yeah, that's most alarming to me.
I was alarmed, you know, you and I have talked about this, but I haven't talked about it too much publicly, was, you know, the video that the Democratic Convention put out with Joe Biden, and he's doing photo ops with Pope Francis. There's several pictures of him and Pope Francis. There have been many pictures of him with nuns in traditional habits and veils and all that. And he even talks about how I was taught by the nuns, and I love the nuns, and I respect the nuns, and on and on. And that was really him just playing defense, because Catholics in America know that he has been attacking these nuns on their right. These nuns don't want their health care to include abortion and contraception. Why do they need to be forced to have this coverage? It's ridiculous. It's just a power play in the government. They want 100% of all Americans, all in, no exceptions, including the little nuns.
Yeah, it's really sad.
It's ridiculous.
It's very sad. Yeah, and I could go on and on. And, you know, one thing that I've been struggling with Taylor, is that I'm not in the position to judge anyone's faith. You know, Joe Biden's faith is between him and important to recognize is that he doesn't live out his faith in his public service. You know, for someone that considers himself so Catholic, it just doesn't seem to translate in his 47.
Talk a little bit about Joe Biden. Yeah, we can't judge the soul of anyone. I mean, ultimately, I have a hope that if I died, I went to confession 2 days ago. Hope I'm still good. I have the hope that if I died, that our Lord would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now here's, you know, 2,000 years of purgatory for all this other stuff. That's my hope. So I don't even know for myself. So I'm not going to judge Joe Biden's soul. I don't know that.
Absolutely.
But objectively, I know I can open up the catechism right here, one foot from me, and I can look up what is the official Catholic teaching on marriage, on the beginning of human life, abortion, etc., religious liberty, all these things that the Catholic Church claims. I can look those up and I can just compare them to the words of Joe Biden, and I can say, Joe Biden, you say you are a Catholic, but on these points, you're in contradiction with the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big problem.
Absolutely. So one of the things, Taylor, that I get a lot is that, you know, and it's not just for Trump, but, you know, a lot of people on from the Democratic Party, from the left say, well, you know, you guys, you Republicans, all you care about is stopping abortion, but then you don't care about the baby after, which is so untrue. So how would you respond to that statement?
Yeah, well, I'm involved in a number of, you know, crisis pregnancy center apostolates, ministries and whatnot. And some of them are all Catholic and some of them are whatever, you know, you can be involved in. But what I've noticed is even in the ones that are, you know, generally, you know, all faith or whatever, all denominations, pan-denominational, the majority is Catholic. And I think the people who are truly pro-life, I mean, I've never met any pro-life person who said, yeah, once the baby comes out, whatever. Nobody believes that. Believes that. You know, we give our money, we give our time. There are heroic men and women who are working every single day, Saturdays and Sundays sometimes, to help and assist these women find employment, to get them diapers, to get them food, to buy them homes, to get them in apartments, to find mentors for them.
Right.
If they want adoption, to work through the entire process. I mean, there are, I know, literally, I know hundreds of people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who are involved in all of these ministries. And it's just a lie. It's just a lie that they want people to think that we just want a baby to come out of the womb and then we shrug our shoulders and we're done with it. That's not true at all.
Another question, or I guess criticism that I get is that, you know, Donald Trump is only pro-life when it comes to abortion. Well, that's not really true either. So there's a story that I want to tell you guys, and it's public, so you may have heard of this, but I think it was about a year ago, you know, during, I believe it was January of 2019. I could be wrong on that, but the president was meeting with his military advisors, and there was a potential to conduct a military strike in Iran. And the first thing that President Trump asked was, how many lives are going to be lost? How many lives? Because this president doesn't see casualties, you know, collateral damage as just numbers. He sees them as individuals that have families, that have futures. And so that's something that I really like to share about the president that, you know, of course, never really makes it past the media. But he is very aware. That's why you've seen in the past few months he's been really leading on bringing the troops home, because he values each and every life that he sends overseas to defend our country. So he's bringing them home. You know, these endless wars really need to stop, and he recognizes that. You see Don Jr. speaking about that a lot. So that, in my opinion, is a very pro-life because he doesn't want people slaughtered, you know, overseas.
Yeah. And another pro-life element that the Democratic Party doesn't talk about is, yes, we want children the right to be born and to live. But, you know, we believe in not only procreation and birth, but also in the raising and education of our children. And mm-hmm. part of that raising and education means that we should do everything we can to create a society where nuclear families are honored and Absolutely. Are held intact. That has to do with tax laws. It has to do also with economics, right? And raising people out of poverty. Yes, you can write checks, welfare checks, and we do that. And there are, of course, reasons for that. But more importantly is instilling the dignity in the American people so that they can live the American dream. That's one thing I love in the convention in President Trump's speech is he was saying, yes, America's great. Let's make it better.
Absolutely.
And he was using the language of the American dream. We've kind of lost that. He's like, let's get back to the American dream, where a young man can marry the love of his life and they can begin having a family and begin to thrive in America and raise children. Not just so children are born, but raise children. And then also create structures so when that's broken for whatever reason, that these mothers, these fathers, these children are protected and they too can have a track towards the American dream.
Yes.
So, and that's the whole life vision, not just, you know, the birth life. This is the whole life vision. It's calling us to something higher and better and protecting the family unit and the nuclear family, which BLM is 100% opposed to on their agenda.
Yes.
We all need to recognize that. Protecting the nuclear family. Every child has a right to have a mom and a dad. I believe that. Every child has a right to have a mom and a dad. Now, I understand that parents die and there's, you know, all kinds of horrible things happen, abuse and such. But ideally, every child, and we all know this, it's a fact. It's a fact. When a child has a father and a mother, they do better in school. Even their health is better. Their weight, everything about them thrives more because they are in this nuclear family of protection, protecting them in the world and helping them. And so whatever it takes, not only to preserve life in the womb, but to make it so that our American children can thrive in a family that loves them, that's pro-life.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And, you know, both the First Lady with her Be Best program, she's very focused on children. And then Ivanka, the first daughter, has done incredible work on women's empowerment programs around the world. I'm blanking on the numbers now, but I mean, just the amount of investment that this administration has put into empowering women and families around the world is really commendable. So it's, like you said, it's whole life. It's not just in the womb. It's passed until natural death.
Yep. And you know, another thing that the president discussed that relates to this whole life vision and of the family and of our young people, our children, is school choice. I couldn't believe, Catherine, how much he was talking about school choice. I didn't think he was going to make it that big of an issue. But it was repeated over and over throughout the convention that this, especially when we come into the fall here, with schools closed and streaming and Zooming, we saw tonight how Zoom doesn't work so great, right? All these problems, parents are panicking. How am I going to educate my child for the next 9 months? How does that work? And if only we had a system of school choice.
Absolutely.
Or if we had waivers, I'm going to homeschool. And let me tell you, homeschool isn't free. We're homeschooling. You got to buy all the books. The school's not sending you the books. You got to get the online programs. You get a guide, a coach. You have a child with dyslexia. You got to pay for that. Your kid isn't doing well in physics. Mom and dad can't teach physics. We got to hire a tutor. What if with school choice, parents who chose to do homeschool could get a voucher to buy these books? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Again, this is a whole life vision. I don't hear any of the Democrats talking about this. All they want to do is tax us more and then just give money to the teachers' unions. And then we see that the worst schools are in these neighborhoods where, in poor neighborhoods, where in minority neighborhoods often, where these kids are not getting the same education as other children, and they don't even have the choice. They're forced to have a subpar education. That's wrong. That's not America. That's not a great America. And Trump is actually addressing that. Biden, Kamala, no way.
Right, and it's okay for Joe Biden's kids to go to the right. best schools around the country or the world, but it's, you know, if you're some kid in the urban area of Philly, good luck. That's their message. Good luck.
Right.
Good luck in that failing school that you have no opportunity to, you know, achieve. And it's very sad. And the president sees that. He sees that, you know, with the right opportunity, anyone can achieve the American dream. And that's really what that's really the basis of his administration, is that he wants every person. If you are an American citizen, it doesn't matter what you look like, where you come from, what your last name is, who your dad is, who your mom is. You are entitled and allowed to have the opportunity that everyone else has at the American dream. Yeah. So,
and again, this is, we keep saying the word whole life. This, you know, I want to now touch on prison reform. That was another big thing that was going on, that was talked about, not just by Trump, but by many of the speakers. And when there was two speakers that especially touched our hearts during the convention, talking about prison reform. And look, you know, we're talking about fathers being returned to their families. The one lady, I can't recall her name, the grandmother, returned to her family with her grandchildren. Those grandchildren now have a grandmother to help.
Mm-hmm.
This is what...
Right?
What was it?
Alice Johnson.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yes.
I mean, exactly. this is now helping younger children thrive in America and reach and attain the American dream. This is what we need to be about. And again, taxing people and sending more and more money to government programs that are corrupted by often unions, which have a socialistic agenda, has not been working. And the proof of that is look at every Democrat-run city. Mm-hmm. They are becoming slums.
Absolutely. It's really tragic is what
it's
it
not,
is.
And it's not fair to those people and those kids that grow up in those areas. And then the Democrats like Biden, all these decades, how come he hasn't done a darn thing to help these people? How come Chicago just keeps sinking and sinking and sinking? It's because
Detroit.
The Democrats have one, they're a one-trick pony. We'll tax you more and put more money into the account. It doesn't work.
Yeah, and I've actually, so last weekend I traveled 1,100 miles across Pennsylvania and shortly a little bit in Ohio for the president. And everywhere I go, I mean, the enthusiasm is incredible. It's incredible. And just the most earnest people come up to me, and I'm not important at all. I'm just some, you know, random staffer showing up at an event, but they come up to me and they say, we love this president. We can't wait to vote for him. He believes in us. He believes in me. And it's really heartwarming, you know, to see the love and the appreciation that this president is paying attention to them and their needs, the forgotten man, the forgotten woman. So I've been very touched by my travels, and I'll be here in Florida for this weekend. And then I head back to the Midwest next week. So nonstop, no sleep till Brooklyn, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, how many more days do we have? You probably know, you probably have it written on your arm.
Gosh, I think it's 47. Thanks, Rebecca.
Yep.
I honestly, sometimes I wake up, I'm like, I don't even know what year it is, but we just got to keep on going.
Let me tell you, it's 2020. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Now, this week, Catherine, Archbishop Vigano came out with a notice, another interview. And at the end of it, he mentioned how that he invoked Trump's quote during his speech at the convention, saying that, you know, we don't turn to career politicians for redemption. We don't trust more government for redemption. We put our faith in Almighty God for redemption. And Archbishop Vigano says, with that conviction, if it's coupled with continued fidelity, he says, he quoted Psalm 117, the right hand of the Lord will deliver. And it's a little ambiguous there in the Italian, but it seems he says the right hand of the Lord will deliver the election. This is me paraphrasing, deliver the election to Donald Trump. And I hope so. I hope so. I was just looking at the polls a couple hours ago, and a lot of the swing states are looking better this week. So we'll see. I think people need to pray. I mean, it's not just, we gotta, you know, talk to our neighbors and we gotta make videos like this or whatever, but we'd also need to pray that God's right hand intervenes. We are at a crossroads in not just American history, but in human history. And we must pray. And I've heard Trump say that. I'm impressed by that.
Yes. Yes. He takes faith very seriously. And so I've experienced that, you know, and witnessed that for the past 4 years, working for this administration. So I think we're running out of time a little bit, and I really appreciate you all again for dealing with the technical difficulties, but I just want to say a few things. So if you haven't done so already, if you could go register on our website, catholics.donaldjtrump.com. That way I can have an easy way to communicate with you and, you know, update you on upcoming events. And you know, it's just really important. One thing, if I could ask you, if you could tonight, right after this call, talk to 5 of your friends and have them sign up, because that's what it's going to take, is that it's going to take each and every one of you on this call to get this president reelected. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be Taylor, as much as we'd like to think, but it's going to be you guys. It's going to be so important that you guys are getting the word out, that you're talking about the amazing accomplishments that this president has done in the past 4 years, and that what, you know, the many more accomplishments that he would have with another 4 years. So it's up to you guys to get the message out, to contact your friends, contact your family. You know, and if you have friends and families that are Catholic that are kind of on the fence about the president, that's okay. Talk to them. You know, have a civil conversation. We're all adults here. I mean, there may be some kids on, I don't know if there's some kids, but that would be great if there were. But, you know, we're all adults. We all know how to have polite conversation. Just have a polite conversation. Seek to understand each other. You may learn something that, you know, you wouldn't have learned otherwise. So I just encourage you to keep up the good word. Stay excited, stay enthusiastic. We'll do a few more of these before the election. So stay tuned on Twitter and our Facebook and our Instagram. And I just want to thank again, I really can't thank you guys enough for being here and for your support. And thanks so much to Dr. Taylor for fixing this technical problem.
Well, so, you know what? We got a lot of good Catholics. All these people watching, you know, we're at 1900 or something right now. All these people are passionate about our Lord Jesus Christ and the church, and also they're good patriots. And they love America, and God bless America, and we care. And for the sake of our children and our grandchildren and our parents and our grandparents and all these generations, and for all Americans, you know, we need to pray. We need to act. We need to speak. This is a crossroads. I know they always say this is the most important election ever. Let me tell you, this is a really important one for Catholics. Absolutely. 2020 is a big one for Catholics.
Well said.
So keep praying. Talk to 5 friends. I put the link on the screen there. You can see the screen link. You can't click on it. You have to type it in. I'll put it in the show notes below this after the video. Share this video. Talk to people. And I think the hardest thing for people to understand before we sign off is, yeah, but Joe Biden is the Catholic, Trump is the Protestant, so we should vote for the Catholic. That's the biggest confusion in this election. And I think we need to realize that we're not voting on the C word. We're voting on what is good for America and ultimately what honors God. And if babies are murdered in the womb, that's on our nation. We have to fix this. And there's only one candidate who's interested and willing in talking about it. and that's Donald J. Trump, and that's why I endorse and support Donald J. Trump. I don't agree with every single thing he's done or said in his life, but on these issues, as a Catholic man, I have to support him. So,
absolutely.
All right. Well, I usually close in a prayer. Can we close in a prayer?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. We'll pray a let's pray a Hail Mary. We got Catholics on here tonight. We'll pray a Hail Mary, and we'll sign off. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, Catherine O'Neill, thanks so much for hosting
guys.
This event.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
God bless and Godspeed.
Godspeed.